Welcome to Executives at the Edge, a podcast brought to you by MEF. I'm your host, Pascal Venezis. Join me as we explore thought-provoking perspectives from the leaders and changemakers who are propelling enterprise digital transformation forward. I am so very excited to have Roy Chua, founder and principal of AvidThink. Roy, welcome to Executives at the Edge. And today, I believe we're going to cover a lot on NaaS, Network as a Service. And I think it's such a powerful topic because everybody's talking about it. So looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this. So Roy, please, for our listeners, just give them a little bit of background about yourself and AvidThink. That'd be really appreciated.
Yeah, thanks, Pascal. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and get on the podcast again. I'm Roy. I am an analyst at a small firm called AvidThink. We used to be part of SDX Central, which I co-founded back in 2012. We spun out in 2018 and have been independent for the last 5 years. We cover what we call infrastructure technologies. That's the underlying and the underpinnings of telco networks, of enterprise networks, of cloud networks, as well as a little bit around the computing infrastructure and cloud layer as well. So that's the area that we cover. In terms of what Pascal was referring to, yes, we do have some reports coming up in an interesting space. And I'm sure those who follow the MEF would have seen the NaaS, Network as a Service, trend take up. And MEF had its global NaaS event last year, the inaugural one. And I'm looking forward to joining this year's actually as well. And so, yeah, we've been looking at what's happening on the networking infrastructure side. And we're seeing the rise of campus NaaS and the carrier NaaS as well. So, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that and why that's happening.
So Roy, such an interesting report's coming out, NaaS, Network as a Service. It's become the latest buzzword now everywhere, as you know. So how do you define NaaS and what's the NaaS landscape looking like today?
Yeah, no, I think NaaS is a little hard to define in the sense that what we see out there is a lot of different definitions, from on-demand, you know, WAN or wide area services, to cloud-based networking, and also managed campus Wi-Fi and LAN is NaaS. And in some cases, we're seeing on-demand SD-WAN and SASE services being called as NaaS. And the mobile carriers with the 5G networks are also terming their end-to-end, you know, network service slicing as NaaS. And so there's a lot of variety of NaaS. From our perspective, I think we look at NaaS, I think, sort of as a parallel to SaaS, software as a service. And it's more around sort of a business model and a consumption model. And that is characterized generally by things like short-term commitments, the on-demand or short-term contracts, rapid provisioning, so the on-demand provisioning or very quick provisioning, consumption-based pay-as-you-go pricing, low CapEx or no CapEx, and then in many cases, it's going to be fully managed or co-managed or partially managed. And I think those are the attributes that we see, and a network service that fulfills those criteria from a business model, from a consumption model standpoint, we view as NaaS. And then obviously, there's many categories of NaaS on the landscape side. So what we do see is, on the carrier side, certainly on-demand networking, network slices, that's definitely been around for some time, sort of getting on-demand links, on-demand provisioning, even scheduled bandwidth, right? I think those are elements of NaaS. With the rise of clouds, private and public, creating links in between those sort of different networks in the middle mile, I think even in the first mile, we view those as NaaS as well. And then on the campus side, what we're seeing on the enterprise side is some level of enterprise WAN that ties in with the carrier offerings. And on the campus itself, Wi-Fi and managed Wi-Fi and managed switching, we're also seeing as part of the landscape of NaaS. So campus to wide area on enterprise side, intersecting with the carrier, last mile access to middle mile to first mile. You know, I think that's the scope of where we see network as a service business models being applied.
So basically, as a service has become very wide scale from the enterprise point of view. And as they've adopted the cloud, both in IaaS, infrastructure as a service, and now platform as a service, and SaaS, certainly software as a service, you think network is being pulled into the same direction. NaaS has been around for a decade plus. Why is it now so critical? Is it because of the cloud model? Is it because of SDN, software-defined networking, virtualization? Love to hear your thoughts on that, and we'll move on to why, you know, the enterprise will embrace it or is embracing it.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, you're right. Enterprises embracing, I think we're both seeing the same thing. And the question as to why NaaS and why now, I think you're absolutely right. I think the cloud sort of led the way. Enterprises saw the advantage of the cloud. And there is a strong desire in our talk, you know, in our work with enterprises and our conversations with them. They're fed up with the complexity and this perceived nickel and diming from the different providers in terms of, you know, and they don't want to deal with hardware and software and maintenance and support. And because of that experience or positive experience with cloud, with SaaS, with IaaS, with PaaS, right? They're looking for the same thing on the networking side. It's like, if I can get that for compute and storage, why can't I get that for networking? I think that's one element. The second element is the evolution of the business preferences. A lot of businesses are looking for more of an OpEx model as opposed to a CapEx heavy model. And so they prefer the scale as you grow model, you know, sort of, you know, you don't have to risk a lot of capital upfront. They're looking for a pay-as-you-go, pay-as-you-grow, and an outcome-based type solution. And NaaS happens to apply and align with that. I think the third element is, yes, we've talked about NaaS for many years. I think the mindset's ready. The other element is from the supply side, not just the demand side, but the automation capabilities. The SDN has actually taken hold, the programmability aspect. I think now the stacks for networking are a lot more programmable, a lot more flexible than they used to be. I think carriers and those providing the network services are getting better at flexible charging. I mean, not all the way there yet, as we know, and coordination and orchestration. And I know the MEF has a big role to play on that side as well. And I think that sort of supply side evolution and innovation coupled with the changing mindset, culture, you know, demands influenced by cloud consumption. I think that's sort of driving that why NaaS and why now.
So do you think it's because, you know, at MEF, we've defining NaaS as both the underlay, which is all the Ethernet, carrier Ethernet we've known for, the internet or IP services, the overlays with SD-WAN has now taken off everywhere, with now cybersecurity, SASE, SSE, ZTNA, and now clouds, you know, edge clouds, multi-access edge compute, multi-clouds. Look, those four themes are really what we're defining NaaS, all cut by automation. Automation is critical. It has a must-have. Is it because of all of this technology advancements and the timing, the star is just right where all the IT has gone to the cloud or going to the cloud in droves? All of this just lining just perfectly that the enterprises are embracing this now? Is it really geared for the mid-markets, the SMEs? Do you see the multinationals, and are they also embracing it, or do they want the best of breed, or is there a skill shortage? Do they, you know, too much complexity? I mean, I'm probably asking too many questions, but I'd love to hear.
Those are all the right questions. I mean, those are all the right questions. Let me take your 10 questions in turn. No, I'm kidding. But the answer is yes, 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 Pascal. Maybe yes, yes, right? How's that? But I think the reality, it is correct. I think the enterprises, I would say the mid-market seems to be ripe for NaaS, sort of the mid-market, and then the larger of the smalls are definitely interested. They have enough complexity in terms of their networking and the computing needs, you know, hybrid cloud, that they are looking for solution. They are not big enough to go hire the talent and keep them in-house. And so they're looking for an alternative to that. And NaaS fulfills those needs, especially in the pay-as-you-go model. So they don't have to put a lot of CapEx up front. They don't need to recruit all the talents that they can't recruit in the first place. And so I think the NaaS model is appealing to them. And I think that that's one of the elements. The very small companies, I think, will benefit from NaaS as well, as provided by, you know, a wide variety of carriers, you know, a wide variety of providers, whether they're carriers or networking vendors. they'll probably benefit from that from some of a simplicity, streamline standpoint, because again, they don't have the ability and the staff to deal with complex networking or networking and security as a converged offering, which is what we're seeing, especially for the small, because they do care about security. If security comes with a NAS offering, you know, converged connectivity and security, then I think we will see more and more uptake. For the largest of the large, I think very generally speaking, they do have their own unique needs. Sometimes they view IT as a differentiator. They are able to recruit talent and retain talent still. And so I think in those situations, I think the uptake may be a little slower, but the CFOs and the CIOs are driving increased efficiencies. And so I think even in those cases, I think we will see over time increasing adoption of NAS. And if you look at SaaS and the growth of adoption of sort of early SaaS products, like say Salesforce, for instance, I think some of that will mirror that. And as you saw with Salesforce, sort of the mid-sized companies that had the complexity of needing a CRM SFA solution, but couldn't afford the Siebels or the SAPs and the customization, were happy to buy into what Salesforce provided, even if the model wasn't perfect. And then over time, you know, small businesses said, "Hey, yeah, we could benefit from that increased efficiencies." And Salesforce was able to streamline it for their needs. And eventually, large companies realized that there was benefit into buying into a software as a service offering as well, and then they started adopting. So I think that same model will play itself out on the NAS side. That's my prediction anyway.
So how is the carrier and cloud NAS market evolving? Let me just say this. We talked about it's a commercial business model. So I today at my house buy utility. I don't manufacture my own electricity or my sewage or my water. I could, but it'd be an enormous task. So I buy it as a utility. It's a pay-as-you-go. Obviously, it's a multi-tenant model because it's not only just me serving me. They're serving my whole street and the whole community. So does carriers now have to think of multi-tenancy, cloud automation, removing people? They have to combine, as you said, cybersecurity with networking and connection to all the clouds. How do they do that as a pay-as-you-go model where it's only because we can softwareize everything and virtualize everything that now we can literally, the providers can do a pay-as-you-go? And because in the past it was all hardware, very expensive, they had to amortize it. Like how are the carriers evolving the NAS market?
Yeah, that's a difficult question for some of the carriers, right? Which is that all the capabilities that you point to are absolutely necessary, and maybe not even sufficient, but definitely necessary to be able to be effective in providing a NAS offering. So that virtualization, that softwareization of the network, the programmability of the network, the charging functions and all the, you know, all those elements have to be put in place, the integration and convergence of security and networking to make it a compelling offering, all those elements have to be put in place. And so the transformation on the carrier side in order to meet the needs of the enterprises has to happen, right? That cultural shift, that platform shift, the technology shift has to happen. Some of the carriers are already well on their way, and we know some of the leading ones that are sort of pushing that way, and they've been building the capabilities to do that. But all the things that you do mention are necessary. There's got to be a skill set, mindset change, because generally speaking, when you look at what's happened with SaaS versus sort of legacy software, with SaaS, you have the CI/CD, you have the rapid pushes, right? I mean, of releases of software, you know, quarterly or sooner, on some cases, every week you get, you know, new features, right? So maybe not that extreme, but still you need that continual stream of innovations and that ability to update and push and dynamically change the network based on what the customers are looking for. So I think those are all the elements in there. The other element is in terms of with networking, just like the cloud providers, they have to buy the compute hardware first and the storage first, and then trust that people will come and buy those services and consume those services. Same with the carriers, and the carriers already have made investments in last mile and middle mile. And in some cases, the carriers will have to extend into the campus itself, right? That last meter, last foot or whatever it is, they're going to have to make investments into those and then trust that they're able to retain the customer and to charge for services or value-add services and scale it up or down as the customers desire. So all those capabilities, technology, the hardware capabilities that support the software, the operational capabilities, the development capabilities, all those have to be built out in terms of what the carriers will need. And it's happening. I'm seeing some of the carriers be able to do that. Some of them will partner with NAS providers, software providers that will help them do that. And hopefully, you know, they'll all transition. But as we know, some will be left behind. And hopefully, we get more moving forward than not making it.
So you mentioned something very interesting. So the demarcation points moving from a site, what we call user network interface, UNI, that was more site-based.
Yes.
Now, is it right to the device and the provider is literally owning from the device, which has the application and user behind it, all the way from the LAN environment, the Wi-Fi environment, the private 5G environment, through the wide area networks, through their backbones, to all the clouds, all the multi-clouds, they own all of that experience. And that's a pretty daunting task for these providers to get through. And they're going to need tons of automation. They're going to need help from a lot of their vendors. But does the enterprise IT staff, especially the larger enterprises, think they're going to get displaced? Do they think their roles are being removed and being managed by this NAS offering, the utility, where they don't have to build their own water and sewage and electricity? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think so two elements. Number one, you are correct. We are redefining that demarcation point now goes to the device. And part of that is because the expectation from the enterprise side is that I have a user and she or he is on a device, whether they're at home or they're route roaming on the mobile network or they're on an enterprise campus. If you want to provide sort of end-to-end NAS, then whomever the service provider is, right, whether it's an underlay or an overlay, you have to provide that experience management and that reporting telemetry. I think that's the reality. And I'm seeing the networking vendors and in some cases the carriers stepping up to even talk about it that way and offer it that way to give the enterprise IT, the CIOs, sort of peace of mind to say, look, yeah, we will secure and we will connect your devices wherever they are, you know, whatever network they're on, and provide you with sort of one pane of glass visibility, and we'll provide you with SLAs, both on the security side as well as on the connectivity side across the board. So that is happening. It's a big mandate. But the networking vendors, if you look at all the major networking vendors, the solutions that they bring to the table from a networking gear, networking software standpoint, are going that way, right? So the digital experience management, a lot of telemetry, end-to-end visibility, control. If you look at all the major networking vendors, they're all talking like that. And so those tools and capabilities will become available to the managed service providers or the carriers or whomever is providing that NAS service. I think that's one element of it. The second element in terms of roles, responsibilities, you know, job change management, I think the reality with IT right now is that a lot of IT teams are understaffed. And so NAS or as a service is viewed as a way of dealing with the fact that a lot of teams are understaffed right now. And so I don't think that the vast majority of the people will lose their jobs. I think, you know, the vast majority of people hopefully will have a better life as they embrace NAS. I think that's one element. The second element is that some of these IT experts or networking experts will probably move into the MSPs or the carriers or the people who offer those services. Just like when we look at when the cloud providers, when the SaaS and IaaS and PaaS came in, it wasn't suddenly that people operating data centers or operating in the hosting providers suddenly all lost their jobs and we had all these people on the streets, right? The reality is that a lot of them took up jobs with the hyperscalers. You know, they went somewhere else or they joined, you know, the SaaS providers. And so I think we'll see maybe a shift of where or in which organization that performed their job. But I think the reality is that job needs to be performed. I think, yes, there's going to be automation. Yes, there's going to be efficiencies, but there's going to be ongoing demand for expertise as well at the same time, right? So there's increased complexity. And so I think in general, I don't think IT shrinks. We would always like to think that IT shrinks, but it never shrinks. We look at the spend on IT and every year it keeps going up, even though every vendor is touting 20% improvements, 30% improvements, and yet IT spend doesn't go down by 20% or 30%. It goes up by 5%, 6%, 3%, right? So I think that's what we're going to see even with the NAS transition.
But for these IT pros, I mean, now what you're saying is they have to be more aware. They have to know about software, APIs, automation. They have to know about networking, which they generally have known. And now they also have to know about cybersecurity. But I mean, they don't have to have that deep knowledge because the NAS provider provides it all. But how would they know, does that NAS provider really do the proper cybersecurity? Does it really do the SD-WAN application performance assurance? Does it really deliver the SLAs it promises? So, you know, at MEF, this is why we've taken on the automation journey and we were very successful with adoption of that, especially the business to business of the ecosystem layer. We've also took on all the underlay stuff and defined that. And, you know, certainly that's been our heritage, but we've taken all the SD-WAN and SASE work. And now we're taking on the multi-cloud and MEC work because we've realized this is the blueprint and we've released the blueprint and continue to evolve that blueprint to make that knowledgeable to everybody that this is a very complex environment and you have to have knowledge and we're putting out certification in SASE and, as you know, in SD-WAN and carry Ethernet and so on, automation APIs and everything. And so we think that certification will finally be the glue that people can go, oh, it's being certified by some third party, and that third party has some kind of level of confidence that all of these parts work right. What are your thoughts? I know I'm putting a little plug for MEF here, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as you are being an analyst and talking to so many providers and vendors and customers.
Yeah, so you are right that there is a lot of confusion in the market. And you're absolutely right that reskilling, upskilling is absolutely critical to maintaining sort of the, for an IT person, upskilling, reskilling continues. It never stops and it's important. I think the role that MEF has played historically in terms of putting the framework together, providing understanding of the different interface points, the ecosystem, the architecture and the structure, I think that's very helpful. I think having a starting point is always a good thing. And having someone starting point who actually has been doing this for some time is definitely very helpful to the enterprise IT folks or even the carrier IT folks, you know, networking professionals out there. So I think that's absolutely a value to the ecosystem. And so I think, generally speaking, it is changing. It is getting more complex. I don't think things will get less complex. And the scope of what's needed to be an effective IT or networking person will continue to grow. I think that's going to be the reality. And resources, like what the MEF is providing, I think that's helpful. And again, you know, from a credentialing standpoint, I know that employers like that. I know that in many cases, networking experts sometimes view that as a way to improve their hireability or their sort of career mobility. I think those will continue to add value that way. And I applaud the MEF for sort of pushing and recognizing the NAS wave, as it were, and trying to get ahead of it and trying to help the overall ecosystem educate them and get ahead of that and coordinate efforts between the carriers and enterprise IT vendors as well.
Well, thank you, Roy. Very kind words. Final conclusion and final thoughts. What do you think? Does the enterprise feel if they go with a NAS provider, are they locked in? Will it be hard to get out? Because, you know, I get a utility and once I'm in, they can do price increase, they can do what they want. And then getting out is so challenging. Final thoughts on that? Before, I know we're a little bit over, but I think our listeners would like to understand that.
Yeah. So I would say that, you know, no matter what you do, there is lock-in. That's just the reality of it. You know, whomever's Wi-Fi APs you buy, whomever switches you buy to put in your data centers, your campuses, whichever WAN service you provision, there is lock-in. There's no doubt about it, especially with networking, right? There's a hardware component, you're plugged into it, it's sitting, your Wi-Fi AP is sitting up above you. So there is a reality. Now, if you buy a NAS service, I would say that be wary and be careful of what you're buying into. Is there an upfront commitment? You know, all the usual questions you ask. there are some NAS providers I'm seeing on the campus site that are pretty aggressive, and it's true pay as you go, meaning that they take on the risk of the installation, the design, putting the hardware there, and you could cancel 3 months in and they would have to take everything out. And so there are aggressive vendors willing to do that, in which case then your switching cost is near zero because you just call up the next one and they'll come in and, you know, they'll put in the APs, right? So I think that if there is a competitive market, I think lock-in is less of an issue. Because it's more of a utility and a connectivity element, it may be actually, depending on the contracts, it may actually be more fungible than cloud computing, where you build your infrastructure and your software and your pipelines to, say, favor one cloud over another cloud, right? And all the unique services. In networking, connectivity generally is connectivity. You know, your IP packets gets from one place to another place. Security, unless you have very customized policies, if they can provide you equivalents, it may be that NAS may have less lock-in, with the caveat that it depends on the contract that you sign, whether it's truly pay-as-you-go, monthly, no lock-in, or whether there's a commitment upfront to a 3-year contract. Right? I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Well, Roy, always a pleasure talking to you. You're so insightful, and I look forward to our next conversation, probably the next conference. Thank you for being on Executives at the Edge, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Pascal. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us for Executives at the Edge. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe today. Share online and review. Find all our episodes on your favorite podcast platform and at left.net.